Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of the Revelation. I shouldn't have to tell anybody where that's located. Revelation chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and then I'll skip down to verse 20 and read to the end of the chapter. Please read with me. I always read from the King James. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Skipping down to verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Ancient Babylon on the river Euphrates was long destroyed when John wrote this. So he certainly is speaking of a great global power with the wicked characteristics of ancient Babylon. Do you understand that? Yes. He's describing a city or a global power with the characteristics of the ancient city of Babylon, which is why it's simply called Babylon. Now notice the characteristics of the city. Verse 9, And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Notice the kings of the earth have lived deliciously with her. They became enriched by being allied with her. They profited by being connected with her. The kings of the earth made great wealth and substance off of their association with this great place. Verses 12 and 13. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and a manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. This power had wealth beyond imagination. It had political power like no other. It controlled men and the souls of men. It dominated men. It enslaved men. It captured men and the souls of men. These are the characteristics of this Babylon of Revelation chapter 18. And then there's one more characteristic, and that's found in verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. What did Jesus say to the city of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 24? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou which slayest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee. In her was found the blood of prophets and saints. This power killed the prophets of God, persecuted and murdered the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have pictured here a very powerful, a very rich, a very mighty, opulent, wicked, abominable, antichrist power. As most of you who have followed this ministry for any length of time know, I, over the last several years, put together a package of messages called the Israel Package. Three of them, the guy's been the back, did the covers on the front. Beautiful job. 29 messages on the truth about Israel. No one can properly understand prophecy until they have the foundational truth of what the Bible teaches about Israel. If you do not understand the biblical truth about Israel, you are incapable of understanding prophecy. I don't care how many schools you attended, I don't care how many TV evangelists you've watched, or how many books you've read. If you do not understand the truth about Israel, you cannot, you never will understand biblical prophecy. The purpose of those three packages, those 29 messages, was to give everybody a foundation of what the Bible teaches about Israel so that whenever we start getting into the details of prophecy, it'll all come together for you. Without that foundation, it'll make no sense to you. And the things that you are hearing about prophecy, bizarre things, weird things, are because this foundation is not known. In the second package, which would be this one, I brought a message that's included in that package, the three great deceptions of church history. And I go into great depth to analyze and show what those three great deceptions were and are, and how it impacts the church. For sake of this message, the three great deceptions of church history are, number one, Judaism in the early church period. It would be the book of Acts, the first century, and going into the second century AD. Romanism in the Middle Ages, and Zionism in the modern church period, the period in which we live. Those are the three great deceptions of church history. The cities in the New Testament that, in the New Testament age, that most reflect the Babylon of Revelation, the Babylon of which we just read. The cities in the New Testament age that most reflect the Babylon of Revelation are Jerusalem and Rome. Those are the two cities that are to a T in characteristic of the city of Babylon that we find in Revelation chapter 18 and in other portions of the book. Both of them meet the character criteria of the Babylon of Revelation 18. Jerusalem, not modern Jerusalem, because that is a counterfeit Jerusalem. That's not Jerusalem. I'm talking about the real city of Jerusalem that was destroyed in 70 AD. And Rome, the ancient Rome. And Rome can be divided into two categories. Rome pagan and Rome papal. Rome pagan was the emperors of Rome and the government of Rome and the society of Rome. Rome papal is the religion of Rome, ruled by the papacy. So Rome, when you talk about Rome, you have to remember there's two Romes. There's a pagan Rome, and then there's the papal Rome. Now, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. Some think John foresaw this city's destruction when he wrote the book of Revelation. Those who say that John wrote in 90 or 95 AD, of course, would disagree with that. But there are many Bible teachers and theologians who believe that John wrote before 70 AD, along with the rest of the New Testament writers. If John wrote after 70 AD, he was the only New Testament writer who did. All of the other New Testament writers wrote before 70 AD. If John did write before 70 AD, then many believe that he was describing the destruction of Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. Pagan Rome was destroyed in 476 AD. And some think that John foresaw this city's destruction in the book of Revelation. Papal Rome lives on. It is with us today. And it could be the reference of Revelation chapter 18. In fact, many theologians in the Reformation age were convinced that John's Babylon was papal Rome. Today, Zionism has all the marks of the Babylonish system. It has all the marks of ancient Jerusalem, all the marks of ancient pagan Rome, and all the marks of papal Rome. Zionism is a perfect match for the Babylonish description we find in the book of Revelation. One could make an argument, and many have, that New York City is the global capital of Zionism. As such, some people think that this could be the Babylonish city of Revelation chapter 18. We'll delve more specifically into all of that in our forthcoming series on Bible prophecy. I just wanted to give you that as possible interpretations because of the characteristics that are matched in the passage of Scripture that we just read. Notice that the apostles' indictment against this Babylonish power in verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Now notice this last phrase. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. For by thy sorceries all nations were deceived. This is all part of the description of the Babylon that is going to be judged and destroyed by God, and the character traits of those Babylonish cities, such as pagan Rome and old Jerusalem, which were likewise destroyed by God because of the very same characteristics that we read about here in this chapter. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. The word sorceries is the Greek word pharmakeia. We get the words pharmacy and pharmaceuticals from this word. So let's read the verse or the passage that way. For by thy pharmaceuticals were all the nations deceived. Am I getting your attention now? In the Roman Empire, drug use, drug addiction, and drug trafficking were rampant. Opium, morphine, cannabis, scopolamine, did I say that right? Good enough. Wine, and all forms of alcohol, just to name a few of the drugs that were used, abused, and trafficked during the Roman Empire. Whichever city or seat of power John specifically saw is not as important as the Babylonish system or system of the beast that John describes. In my series of five messages, The Rise of the Beast, Coronavirus and Antichrist, I try my best to bring this to the hearts and minds of the Christian people. The five messages are the Schofield Rapture, a false escape from the beast, the false security of the beast is message two, the command to resist the beast is message three, the masks of the beast is message four, and the marks of the beast, message five. In this series, I try to get you to understand that the Antichrist is a system. When the Bible talks about Antichrist, it is not talking about one specific individual who is a, you know, horrible person unlike any other before or since, etc. It's talking about an antichrist system, a beastly system, which has been in existence since the church began. When John wrote in his epistles, and he talked about antichrist, and this is all in these messages, he talked about that antichrists are here already, and the spirit of antichrist. So we're talking about a spirit of antichrist, a system of antichrist, a power of antichrist, or maybe a seat of power. All of the above are inferred in that term antichrist or beast. So it is this system, this antichrist system, that is the great enemy of the church. And in our text in Revelation, we see that one of the weapons that is in the arsenal of the antichrist or beastly system is pharmaceuticals. Now, let me pause. Am I saying that all pharmaceuticals are evil? Absolutely not. Many people's lives have been saved and health maintained with pharmaceuticals. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we must understand that the scripture warns that those in positions of power are able to use pharmaceuticals to advance their evil agenda, and the church must be on guard. I am saying that. Now, in our text in Revelation 18, pharmaceuticals were used by the beastly system for the purpose of deception, not healing. For by thy pharmaceuticals were all the nations of the earth deceived, not healed. The pharmaceuticals of our text are for the purpose of deception, not healing. And this deception in our text encompassed all of the nations of the world. Not just one or two. All of the nations of the world were deceived by the pharmaceuticals of Revelation chapter 18. Forcing drugs on people. I said forcing drugs on people, many of which contain pathogens, have been used by governments to subdue or control the human spirit for centuries. This is not new. Unless you have been in a total academic vacuum for all of your life, you already know much of what I'm telling you now. Governments have used drugs on prisoners of war to sedate them or to create in them an animosity toward that which they fought for, to turn their loyalty for the purpose of propaganda. That's not new. That goes back centuries. Political prisoners to this very day are subjected to all kinds of hallucinogenic drugs and other mind-altering drugs because they are deemed to be enemies of the state. And they are turned over to, quote, re-education camps. Drugs are a major part of this kind of nefarious activity that governments have employed against prisoners of war, political prisoners, for centuries. Soldiers are the targets of forced vaccinations by their own government. Governments have used drugs in fighting. Those of you that are familiar with firearms and know a little bit about the history of our modern firearms, you already know what I'm about to tell you. For those of you who do not know this, you're going to learn something here. The .45 ACP pistol, that's commonly known as, for the most part, the 1911, came about due to the Philippine Moro warriors during the Philippine Revolution that were high on drugs. And as they attacked our soldiers, the handguns that were commonly carried by our warriors at that time were 38 long Colt revolvers. And these Moro warriors were so high on drugs that it would take 8 or 10 hits from the 38 to put them down. And somebody in the brass said, you know, we need something a little bit stronger. We need something that can put them down on the first round, not the 10th round, whether they're high or not. And that's how John Moses Browning came to develop the .45 ACP 1911 pistol, which is still in service today and still carried by many civilians today. But the point is that that whole process of evolution relative to the sidearm of our American military and civilian personnel came about because of the drugs that were put into the Philippine soldiers during that period of history. Our own soldiers are subjected to who knows what kind of pharmaceuticals in their bodies when they enlist. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but let me just give you this caveat. More of our veterans are committing suicide than are being killed in enemy conflict. Why are so many of our veterans killing themselves? It cannot be because of the horrors of war. We did not have an epidemic of suicide among our veterans after World War I. We did not have an epidemic of suicide among our veterans after World War II. We did not have an epidemic of suicide among our veterans after the Korean War. The exponential rise of suicide among our soldiers, our fighting men, did not occur until Vietnam. And it's been increasing exponentially ever since. So it cannot be the horrors of war. The horrors of war were as awful, terrific in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, as they were in any war that we fought since. It's not that. Why are so many of our veterans killing themselves? My personal opinion. Number one, it's because of the drugs they've been injected with. They have no idea, and nobody will ever be told exactly what kind of drugs our veterans have been injected with. Whenever there is an experimental drug that comes along the pike, the typical routine for the pharmaceutical companies and for the government, after it goes through all of the channels of testing and all the laboratory tests are completed and the finite human tests, the volunteer tests are completed, after all that is done and they're looking for a mass human test population, they always inject our military personnel with those experimental drugs. They are the first ones to receive the experimental drugs. And then from there, it goes into the civilian population. I believe, secondly, the reason we have so many suicides among our veterans is because they have seen and they have actively participated in gross, unconstitutional, illegal, and immoral behavior. They have been forced by their government to do things that in their hearts and in their souls they know are against the laws of God and the laws of nature. They know it. And they have to come home and live with that. They have to sleep with that. I believe, personally, those are the two reasons why so many of our veterans are committing suicide. But there is no question, the point of this discussion is the use of pharmaceuticals by governments in prisoners of war, political prisoners, soldiers, mercenaries. During the French and Indian War, British troops gave blankets infected with smallpox to Indians. That's chemical warfare. In a very primitive state, but that's chemical warfare. This was done with the authorization of the highest levels of the British Army at the time. Can you imagine? And let's not forget the infamous CIA MK Ultra program, which for decades the CIA denied that it existed. But then, of course, later, so much information came out that they were forced to admit the program did indeed exist for several decades. And the program basically was using torture and drugs to turn ordinary, peaceful men into conscienceless, heartless, soulless assassins. And our government and our taxpayer dollars underwrote that program for many, many decades. Now, we are told that the program ended in the mid-70s. And we can believe everything the federal government tells us, right? If you'd believe that that kind of activity under a bunch of different names is not going on today, then all I can say is you're pretty naive. There's no question those kind of programs still exist inside our government and our CIA this very hour. We are currently witnessing a global governing system using gross exaggeration and manipulation to force or frighten the nations of the world into taking a pharmaceutical. The nations of the world will be deceived by your pharmaceuticals. And we are witnessing a global governing system using gross exaggeration and manipulation to force or frighten the nations of the world into taking the COVID vaccination, the pharmaceutical. Now, I want to ask you a couple questions at this point. We're still in Revelation 18, aren't we? Yeah, I think we're seeing Revelation 18 played out. Number one, what will be in the corona vaccination? Many vaccinations, including the flu vaccination that many have taken already, have mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, and aborted baby cells, among a host of other things. Aborted baby cells injected through vaccination into our bodies for the flu or whatever it may be. How can Christians claim to be pro-life and then turn around and eagerly, willingly accept a pharmaceutical that includes aborted baby cells in that vaccination? That's the height of hypocrisy. Second question, can we trust the CDC and the pharmaceutical companies? Well, of course, I'm talking to Liberty Fellowship, but I'm also talking to tens of thousands of people. I'm quoting now from globalresearch.com, which is a research website that I often read out of Canada that I find to be very informative with information that the mainstream press will hardly tell us. Let me quote this from them. Under Operation Warp Speed, that's Trump's moniker for this endeavor, under Operation Warp Speed, the Department of Health and Human Services has allocated around $10 billion to feed into giant multinational, multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical corporations, each with a track record of bribery, corruption, market manipulation, and price gouging. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services itself is headed by Alex Azar, appointed by Donald Trump, former president of pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly, which was accused of manipulating the price of insulin in the U.S. and was fined for doing so in Mexico. If COVID-19 was truly the danger we are told it is, why has the Western world placed its trust in the most corrupt corporations on earth? Why do Western governments draw department and ministry heads from these corporations? Why is the development of these vaccines being done in secret by for-profit corporations through the use of proprietary technology rather than as an exercise in open international collaboration? Why the secrecy? Upon seeing examples of the colossal corruption carried out by each of these Operation Warp Speed candidates, it will become clear that their collective appearance at the trough of $10 billion in taxpayer dollars to develop a COVID-19 vaccine is the capstone upon a long, sordid history of profiting at the expense of the general population's money and even their health. Six of the eight corporations shown in the table in Forbes article and Western pharmaceutical giants. They include Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, GSK, AstraZeneca, and Novavax. Four of these six corporations are convicted, not accused or suspected of, but convicted of criminality ranging from falsifying research, the bribing of doctors, regulators, legislators, and even law enforcement officials, to the marketing of drugs to children for conditions not approved of by regulators, and false advertising, just to mention a few. A normal person would not likely trust a convicted criminal recently released from prison walking up to their front door and injecting an unknown substance into their body, claiming it protects them from some sort of disease or conditions. Yet that is precisely what the West does when they roll up their sleeves to be injected by substances created by pharmaceutical corporations repeatedly convicted of the worst possible crimes such businesses could commit. The difference, of course, is a criminal walking up to you on the street raises immediate red flags. But maybe not anymore, because everybody's got a mask, so who knows who the criminals are and aren't? I mean, this is a criminal's paradise. A criminal corporation hiding behind bribed doctors with clean white coats, certificates affixed to their walls, professional clean and well-lit examination rooms, stamps of approval from government regulators, and all the other facades of modern Western healthcare lulls the public into a false sense of trust and safety these corporations and their products do not deserve. Amen. Global research. Now, given the gross exaggeration and manipulation of the coronavirus, only gullible, foolish people would trust them to be honest about this new drug that they want to inject in our bodies. If they will not be honest with us relative to the information, facts, and data relating to corona, how in the world can we trust them to be honest with us in the vaccine they are going to give us for corona? Third question I have is, will the vaccine be mandatory? Now, as Christians and as Americans, we support the right of free choice. We might believe people to be foolish to volunteer to be vaccinated with the corona shot, knowing all we know, but there is no law against being stupid. And we are not in favor of passing a law against stupidity, because if we did, there would be no prison available for them because of the amount of people that would be incarcerated. However, whenever government or employers or health professionals, etc., begin forcing vaccinations upon us, it clearly falls in the category of a beastly system. Do you understand? We're still in Revelation 18. It falls in the category of a beastly system when we are forced to receive pharmaceuticals. That's why I've said from the very beginning, back months and months and months ago, I personally in this fellowship will resist and will fight against forced vaccinations with every ounce of strength in our soul. The so-called mark of the beast on the forehead or on the hand in Revelation that everybody loves to talk about as being part of the Antichrist system, of which they are never going to experience because they're going to be raptured away, more about that in a minute, is a government forced some kind of chemical tattoo to buy and sell. So whenever a government agency or any agency representing the government comes along and tells us that we must be forced to be injected by its vaccine and protocol, whatever they call it, we must recognize that such a thing is part of and it's identical to the description of the beastly mark in the book of Revelation. It's identical to. At this point, it is obligatory that we again point out how the Schofield prophecy doctrines, especially the false doctrine of a pre-second coming rapture, have lulled the church to sleep and made it susceptible to almost any beastly deception. Anybody of rational mind who has read the scriptures can see the exact kind of characteristics, traits, marks, identifiers, whatever word you want to use, between what we are now witnessing in front of our very eyes with what we were warned about in the book of the Revelation. How any Christian could discard that rational, reasoned perspective is only because they become victims of a false doctrine which has lulled their senses to sleep, and they are no longer able to reason and discern in a rational way as God would have them to. False doctrines do that. False doctrines sedate us. False doctrines take away our ability to reason, discern, understand, and act. And that's what the Schofield prophecy doctrines, especially the false doctrine of a pre-second coming rapture, has done to the church. They see everything that we see. They've read the same scriptures we've read. They've read Revelation 18. They've read the other verses in Revelation that talk about the beast and the mark and the Antichrist and all that kind of thing, just as we have. And they're totally unconcerned. Not only are they unconcerned, they gladly go along with and accept the beastly narrative. How can this be? It's because they have embraced a false doctrine, which has completely, like a drug, numbed them to the truth in front of their very eyes. Let me give you an example. When our Declaration of Independence was signed, Samuel Adams said these words: "We have this day restored the sovereign," capital S, speaking of God, "we have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." Sam Adams, 1776. He said that upon the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Does that sound like a dispensationalist rapturist to you? No, sir. Hiss was a man who understood the truth of Scripture, who understood the role that we have as the people of God to engage our country, our society, our community, our neighborhood, where we live, and to be the salt and the light of truth to those around us, and our obligation to resist the power of evil. Christians who are enamored with rapturism are inspired to do nothing except vote for the president once every 4 years. That's about it. Well, are you not worried about what's going to happen when this beastly system gains complete control over our society, including your children and mine? Does that not concern you? No, it doesn't concern them, because they're going to be raptured and they're not going to have to deal with the results of this system. That's what they believe. They truly, firmly believe that. And this corona deception has also demonstrated the way Christians and conservatives have been deceived by Donald Trump. Now this is, I'm not going to harp on this, but I know we're in an election year, so nobody wants to hear this. Everybody's into the whole voting scheme, and I don't care who you vote for. And I'm not telling you who to vote for, who to vote against. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about standing for truth and the Constitution, no matter who is in office, whether you voted for him or not. That's what I'm talking about. But since I've been speaking and writing on this topic over the last several weeks, I have received so much email. You cannot believe it. I cannot count how many Trump loyalists have written to tell me how I am worked up about nothing. I am absolutely worked up about nothing. Calm down, Chuck. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. There's nothing to this. Donald Trump has got this all under control. They've told me, I mean, dozens, maybe scores. I quit counting weeks ago, that Trump's Operation Warp Speed is more 5G chess. This is 5G. Chuck, don't you understand? This is 5G chess. Trump is using the military to deliver vaccines that contain hydroxychloroquine. You see? All the bad guys think that he's delivering this nasty vaccine, but it's not a nasty vaccine. He's all by himself. He's loaded the, what do you call those things? Syringes. He's loaded the syringes with hydroxychloroquine. This is 5G chess. Chuck, don't you see how smart Donald Trump is? How do you reason with a mind like that? How do you reason with a mind like that? And Christians are all telling me, don't worry about this, because Jesus is going to come and we're all going to be raptured to heaven and none of us are going to be affected. Well, you know what? Just for sake of argument, even if what you're saying is true, You're not going to be here. You're so special. You're going to escape all the bad stuff. But you are actively participating in all of the preliminary stuff that's leading up to the bad stuff. What about the people that aren't so lucky and they're not going to make it out? What about them? What are they going to endure? Including some of your own family and best friends and neighbors. So because you've got a ticket out of Dodge, you're not going to do anything into Hades with everybody else that happens to be left. Please explain to me how that comports with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in the Word of God. This is what happens when people abandon the Constitution. This past Thursday, 17th of September, was Constitution Day. It's when the Constitution was ratified. You know that. On my Facebook page, I simply gave a couple quotations. The first one from Thomas Jefferson. Here's what Thomas Jefferson said about the Constitution. In questions of power, then, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. That's our job as citizens, is to bind our civil magistrates, including Donald Trump, I'm sorry, down to the chains of the Constitution. And here's Daniel Webster. Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster. And what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution. For if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world. What do we see going on around the world? Anarchy. What do we see happening in the United States? Anarchy. Why? Because we have not held on to the Constitution of this Republic. The Lord tells us to come out of her, the beastly system, my people. Come out of her, my people. That's what we read. In order to do that, we must be able to identify the beastly system. You can't come out of a beastly system if you don't recognize it to be a beastly system. Secondly, in order to do that, identify it, we must discard the false Schofield rapture doctrine. Once and forever, we must rid our hearts and minds of that false doctrine of a pre-second coming rapture that has enveloped the Christian world and has turned Christian soldiers into slaves of the state. May God help us to rightly divide the word of truth, because our future and maybe our lives depend on it. Let's stand for a word of prayer.